Welcome to episode 496 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Hey, Josh.
Richard, we do the show on video, live, every, you know, most Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And because we're on video, I try to look at the camera more. So I've been trying to look at the camera during the intro. Because we're 496 episodes in, and I still read that line every single time I introduce the podcast.
Yeah, well,
and I thought tonight's the night I can do this. It wasn't. I still had to look back at the notes.
Mm-hmm. And you changed mine part on this. So, you know, I mean, I'm still reading it because I'm still tripping over it every week, but it's okay. We are excited to be here, and we have some feedback, some follow-on from past feedback and some new feedback. Why don't you get us started off with feedback from Rob? And, you know, this stuff comes into us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com.
All right. Rob says, I wanted to briefly give my thoughts on Plex's recent walk back of discontinuing their media player for desktop. I think they're making the same mistakes that Microsoft continues to make by relying too closely on metrics. Plex most likely looked at their analytics and said, hardly anyone's using this feature, so we should put our limited resources where the most people are spending their time. On the face of it, it sounds reasonable. And just to recap, we're talking about when Plex had decided to cut the TV mode, and then last week that we reported that they brought it back. He says, Microsoft used the same logic with Windows Media Center and more recently with single-player story-driven games on the Xbox, in that they saw more engagement on multiplayer games. I disagree with that premise there. We'll just ignore that part. Like, I don't agree. They haven't killed story-driven games on the Xbox. The mistake, as I see it, is that both of these types of customers are not equal. In the same way, an average iPhone customer is considered more valuable than an average Android customer since they tend to spend more money. Someone who's using Plex Desktop, going through all the hassle of making the setup work exactly the way they want, is way more invested in the company and product than someone who just uses it through a streaming box. The Plex Desktop user is much more likely to evangelize the product, participate in betas, provide valuable feedback, pay for additional services, etc. When a product launch stumbles, they're the ones sticking it out and submitting bug reports and reassuring people online that the company they're invested in will make this right in no time. In my opinion, that should be the audience these companies should cater to, not the masses who will jump ship to another product at the first speed bump. You take care of diehards and you typically take care of the masses as well. If you anger your masses, and they'll typically either put up with it or quietly move on. If you anger your evangelist, they'll move on and make sure every possible person hears about it through every channel they have available to them. Just my thoughts. As always, love the show, guys. What do you think, Rob? I mean, Richard. What's your name again?
Well, let me try and play the voice of Rob here. No, I think he has a point in that Microsoft has a habit of looking at numbers, and I understand why companies do this, and I think that it's very likely that that is what Plex did here. We've done it. We've done it on Homeboy. We've looked at numbers and said, okay, well, these platforms aren't getting enough traction to continue to maintain them, so we'll put our energies elsewhere. And it is a risk that you have to take. But I think he is right about many companies failing to recognize their most ardent and avid users and not making sure that they're listening to them specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, they're probably hearing from lots of people that home theater PC is important, but the numbers don't show it. So they make the decision based on the numbers and then outcry. So I get it. I don't think it's as straightforward or as, what's the word I'm looking for? I think Rob paints it as entirely negligent. Maybe that's a little bit
harsh. I'm not sure I would go that far.
Maybe that's not a little bit harsh, but I think it is a gamble the companies have to take, and it's a hard line to walk. And they made the wrong choice, and I'm just glad they came back and made the right decision.
Right. I think I generally agree with what Rob is trying to say, that you don't want to ignore your core, you know, evangelist, like you said, your right. biggest, most devoted users, because they will get angry. But there's the counterpoint to all of that of, even if you make them mad, they're probably the least likely to leave. So make the other people happier, because they're more likely to leave. Like, that's not a good way to lead. I don't recommend any company lead that way. But resources are limited. There's only so much to go around. There's only so many people to go around in terms of how many people you can have working on each particular feature and platform and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, you do have to make hard choices. And fortunately, they, like we've said, they walk the line back here. But I do think in general, Rob makes some good points when he talks about Plex here, and when he talks about paying attention to your core users where it makes sense. But like, I'm not with him on the Xbox analogy at all. And even with Media Center, I'm not sure that I can take this argument even far enough to say that they should have kept Media Center around. So I don't know. Maybe we just lost a bunch more listeners for.
They should have kept Media Center around. I'm totally with him on that. No, I mean, I would argue that Plex, and I've said this to them specifically, I really think that Plex needs to have something. They have it. They have a labs program. They promoted their ridiculous little music player as something that came out of the labs program. All that means is this was a passion project, a hobby for one of the employees that really wanted this kind of thing. So we let them do it. And I feel like companies like Plex should encourage their employees to do things like that, that they know will, like, you know, really appeal to their most avid users. And that's the kind of way that I think that's the way that you approach this. If you don't have the resources to make it part of your official release strategy, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Rob. Let's move on to a message from Captain Lawn Paul.
All right. So a couple of points that are largely all unrelated, as is often the case with Lon Paul. I think he probably makes a list now or writes these out while he's listening, point by point. At least now he waits to press send at the end, which is you know, good. Gives us one thing to read. So he says, I knew I shouldn't have read this, because once again, I get to read the words. I agree with Josh again.
Yeah, it's so lovely to hear.
Okay, moving on. He says, I think Disney should release full seasons in bulk, or at least half seasons. I feel like content that's produced with the intention of being split up loses that continuity that makes many of the Netflix, Amazon, Hulu shows so much better than what's produced on cable. And presumably on network TV. Okay, that's an opinion. And I can respect that you have that opinion. I don't feel that way. I grew up with serial television from week to week. I can bring myself to wait a week if I have to for the next episode. It doesn't bother me.
Maybe this is easier for you because of, and I don't mean this as an insult, but because of how much TV you watch, right? I mean, I only watch like 4 shows or something, like not even that consistently.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. All right. So then he says, Richard, The Boys was renewed for season 2. Woohoo! before they even release season one. I am really glad to hear that. Thank you for informing me. I'm very excited. I thought that was a bit bullish of them, but then I watched the same show you did and realized they made the right call. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good. Glad there's going to be more of it. So that's cool. All right. He also goes on and says, next topic, Disney Plus needs to add a plan where I can get Hulu ad-free, or I'll just have to do the basic subscription and keep my premium Hulu. I cut the cord to remove ads. I even pay for YouTube Red. Wow. Good on you. Right. There are not that many of you. And I definitely don't care about their originals or downloading videos. Anytime I see someone play a video and they have to watch an ad, I cringe deep within my soul. Okay. Again, might be an age thing. I really don't care about ads. I can put up with ads if I have to. I love that I have the ability to skip them on a DVR. And yes, I will pay the extra amount if I need or if it's an option, rather, to be able to have some of these services ad-free. But that's why they have ad-free and not ad-free. I don't think they're going to have a deal where you get Hulu ad-free. I don't think they're going to offer that.
No, I don't think so either. And I think the reason is fairly simple. If you're willing to pay the extra $5 a month, five or six, whatever it is, to get it ad-free, they figure you're willing to pay. Why should they give you a deal?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a point. Now, I am going to contradict myself a little bit later on, and we'll talk about why when that comes to pass. Next, he says, Richard, I really want to hear your opinion on the first episode of season 4 of Black Mirror. That was my favorite. All right. I watched it. It was awesome. I liked it. It was good. And it was dark, because that's what they do. And this was a story that was supposed to be an obvious ripoff of Star Trek. And Star Trek is wonderful. It's about being better, and society is all evolved, and you meet all these wonderful races, and oh no, it's dark, 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 dark. So, yeah, I liked it. It was good. It was not my favorite. My favorite was the finale of season 3. I think was incredibly powerful. Very, very well done. And then finally, well, not finally, he says, in case you guys missed it, because we all did, the DC Universe is now on Xbox, and you can get that free trial and watch Titans.
I don't think we missed this. I think we talked about it on the show.
I think we did too. Yeah, I'm still just not sold on Titans yet with everything else that I am behind on. But we'll see. Okay, and finally, Josh, no Xbox news last week. You have not seen all of the Sea of Thieves updates?
No, Paul. No, I didn't. And there's more to this message on this specific topic. We're not going to read it. Paul, I'm not playing Sea of Thieves. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it breaks your heart. I'm not playing Sea of Thieves.
Well, but I think there's more to it than that, right? Like, yes, there are updates to some of the games that you love, and that's wonderful, and we're really glad when that happens. But we generally don't cover updates to existing games.
Oh, and he knows that. He's just taking an opportunity to get a jab in at Sea of Thieves. I appreciate the effort, but it's not going to work, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And then finally, we have a message from Tim. Tim also weighed in the group of people who said that they are still using an HTPC. Look, I have a hard time saying it. It's been so long. And he has a custom-built Windows 7 machine. He's concerned about the impending death of Windows 7. He's concerned that his Seton tuner, wow, that's amazing, may die out, and maybe he should be, you know, holding out for the Prime 6, but oh, right. Where is the Prime 6? Where is the Prime 6, Josh? We need to look into that. So what is he to do? And I get it. It's a really hard place. Like, if that Seton tuner dies, it's eBayville, man. Like, that's all you have available to you right now, right?
Well, if you need 6 tuners.
Well, Sure. I mean, is there anything you can buy for cable tuners today?
Is the Prime New? 3 unavailable?
Yeah, they don't make a cable car tuner anymore.
Silicon dust? Doesn't?
Silicon dust.
I thought that was still available.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Whoops.
Remember, parts aren't available anymore.
Oh, right. They did tell us that.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. eBay it is, I guess. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's frustrating. A couple of people last time asked, well, what about TiVo? Is TiVo a good alternative? You and I have been using TiVo, and I think we agree that it's good. I don't think it is as good a TV viewing experience as Media Center was, but I do think it's very good. It's a reliable recorder. It is way more reliable than Media Center was, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, I think that TiVo is an excellent alternative for TV watching and some streaming stuff, but it's not as customizable. You're not going to be able to do everything that you want, but you can do most things with the TiVo.
Yep. Yep, I agree. He also asked if there's anything that would allow him as a screensaver on something else he might use, be able to relive family memories, like one of our favorite photos screensaver from Media Center. The answer, you're not going to like it, Apple TV.
Oh.
Apple TV has a really good photo library screensaver that I love. And so I use that on some of my TVs, but not everybody wants an Apple TV, right?
Right. Especially me. Yeah. I wish that Android TV would do a photo screensaver like this. They've already got the technology on their, whatever the crap they're calling them now, the Google Nest Hub thing.
Yeah. And it does a really good job on the Nest Hub.
Right. That would be awesome, but nothing right now. All right, well, that does it for all of our listener feedback. Thank you to everybody who wrote in this week. Hopefully, we will hear more from you all next week. All of that contact information will be at the end of the show or in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. So, into our news. Plex always seems to find a way into the news for us. An interesting story here this week. The press release for this, I don't think, tells the whole story. And we're going to get into some of this because there was more information that we received directly from Plex about this announcement that I haven't seen reported elsewhere. So Plex announced a new partnership with Warner Brothers. And the idea is that you're going to be able to stream Warner Brothers movies and things like that directly through Plex for free by watching ads. It's ad-supported movie streaming from Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers is one of the top movie studios on the planet. So there's going to be a lot of movies, a lot of good movies. They haven't said which ones. The press release said, a package of library feature film titles from Warner Brothers. That means older stuff. It means that you're not going to get brand new releases or anything like that. But there's a lot of great movies out there. That's all good news, I think, right? Like, this is a good idea?
Yeah, sure. I'm not excited about this, but okay.
I mean, the general idea here is Plex wants you to just live in Plex. You already have all of your content there. They want you to be listening to all of your music through Tidal in Plex.
Right.
Now, they want to give you access to movies that you don't already have in your Plex library by streaming them, all without ever having to leave. I mean, it's basically what we loved about Media Center, right? We were able to get most, if not all, of our content directly into Windows Media Center without ever having to leave. That's the idea here. So,
yeah,
I like the direction. I really like the direction.
I don't, but okay.
I don't know that I'll
use think
it
their
much.
Premise is flawed.
Okay.
I don't think people use Plex and stay in Plex and don't venture outside of Plex. That's absurd.
But they
because
want
Netflix,
them to do that.
Because Hulu, because all of the other things that they're going to watch that aren't in Plex. And why would I ever want Netflix in Plex when I have Netflix right next to Plex? Plex needs to get over itself. It is not a platform. It is an app.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So you really, really dislike this idea.
I really do. Also, here's where I contradict myself. I hate ads in movies.
Ads in movies is tough to deal with. Yeah. Yeah. You get used to it in TV, but
right.
In movies, it's a little annoying. Okay. So here's the little bit that I didn't see in the press release and I didn't see reported elsewhere. I'm just going to read this with a little bit of emphasis added by me. And this is a section of the message we got that's focusing on like the benefits to both users and Plex and Warner. Okay.
Okay.
In addition, with its robust, transparent streaming media platform, it being Plex, Plex puts content providers back in control of their brand by gaining actionable insights into the content, into content popularity, user engagement, and viewer usage data, all available on an affirmative opt-in basis by Plex users. Both advertisers and content providers will reach new viewers on an international scale with unprecedented insights, data, and analytics more than any other streaming service.
Okay. Interesting. Really? This is exactly what TiVo does.
What do you mean?
TiVo sells its providers data on who's accessing it, how they're accessing it, where they pause, how long they paused. They give lots of customer information to providers of content on the TiVo box. So I'm hard-pressed understanding how this is so special and unique.
Well, they didn't specify here which content they're providing data about. What if it's everything you're watching on Plex?
Oh, you mean like the Warner movies that I backed up and are sitting on my server?
Exactly.
Hmm. Well, there's another reason why I don't authorize analytics going back to the manufacturer.
Now, we have not reached out yet to Plex to see if we can get some more information on this, but Plex has a reputation for being used by people for piracy, and people get super nervous when they're pirating content about sharing content usage data with third-party providers, especially movie studios who like to sue people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I saw this, like, I was just kind of skimming the email and saw this and went, like, another one of those brake screeching moments. What did Plex agree to? What data are they giving Warner Brothers? And maybe I'm freaking out, but if I'm freaking out, which I'm not one to really freak out about this sort of stuff, I'm freaking out about it, I can't imagine how much some hardcore Plex users are freaking out about this idea.
Well, they're not, because nobody's told them about it until now.
That could be true. I hate to ruin everybody's day, but this might not be good. And if you're super nervous about this, you probably already have these opt-in features turned off, but you really might want to double check. And you might want to like set up a scheduled reminder to continue to check, especially if you start to take advantage of this Warner Brothers stuff.
Yeah, we need to find out more about that. That is your conspiracy theory is concerning.
I don't want to go that far. I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory. It's a possibility. It just,
okay.
They don't detail it. And I hope that if it's just data about what Warner Brothers content you're watching through the Warner Brothers streaming thing, I'm totally fine with this. That's typical. It's par for the course when it comes to getting, in quotes, something for free through ads and stuff like that. You give up your data. That's what you do. It's not free. You're the product here. Okay. So if that's the case, I'm fine with this. But if they're getting all of our Plex usage data, that's not quite so cool.
Hmm.
All right, that's it for the story. Let's move on to something I think we can both actually agree on as being a good thing. I think you're going to be excited about this.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the UHD Alliance, the Ultra HD Alliance, although I wonder if this is one of those things that UHD doesn't actually stand for anything. It's just the UHD Alliance. I could see them doing something like that here. But the U in UHD Alliance stands for UHD Alliance. No, I'm just kidding. So the announcement here is that they are announcing a new thing called Filmmaker Mode. It is a new setting for TVs, for your 4K UHD TVs that will set all of the settings how the filmmakers want them to be set. And the biggest change here, of course, is turning off all of that motion smoothing crap that results in what we affectionately call the soap opera effect.
Oh, yeah. And as I understand it, this isn't like it's filmmaker mode, but it's not specific to every piece of content you're watching.
Right.
It's just that, 9 out of 10 filmmakers agree smoothing is bad.
Right. Pretty much. So some of you might be thinking, oh, great. So that's just yet another preset in all of my settings that I can pick from. It is, but in some cases, it will be able to automatically enable itself based on the metadata in the disc that you're watching. And that's probably cool, unless you're like maybe John that we talked about last week, the guy who calibrates his TVs to absolute perfection. Maybe he doesn't want this. Maybe he doesn't want anything messing with his settings. But for the rest of us lazy bums out here who don't do a lot except for, I don't know, maybe just put it in cinema mode or whatever, like having to automatically put it into this mode, I'm down with that. I'm totally down with that.
Yep. I like it. I think it's going to confuse people because we already have cinema mode, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you usually recommend to people if they don't have the time or ability to calibrate their device, and then you tell them to turn off smoothing on cinema mode.
Right.
But now we're going to have filmmaker mode. That sounds a little bit like cinema mode. That's probably going to confuse some people, but this is a really good move in the right direction to basically combat what, for whatever reason, the manufacturers of televisions have decided should be the default way of setting up a TV.
Well, yeah. So not every manufacturer who's in the UHD Alliance has said when it's going to come to their TVs, but Vizio has said that their 2020 TVs will have filmmaker mode, and hopefully LG and Panasonic and everybody else will also adopt this because it sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. All right, you know what else would be awesome? A new TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't yet have all of the features we expected for the current TiVo that were announced at CES. So it's time for a new TiVo. And our friend Dave Zatz, as always, has found information about the rumored TiVo Edge. And specifically, he has found some details on the TiVo Edge box for cable. And so it looks like it's going to have 6 tuners, be 2 terabytes of storage, and it'll do 4K. Plus, it will add Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos, which the current Bolt boxes don't have. It's going to get rid of that ridiculous bent form factor that it has now, and look a little bit more like a flat game console, which in my opinion is a good thing because that makes it more stackable. And then there aren't details yet on when it would be available or what it would cost because, this is a leak of information based on filings, but he expects it'll be very similar to the current pricing for the Bolt, which is not surprising. And right, we'll probably see it this fall. Now, one of the things that he pointed out in his post, and I don't know if you caught this, Josh, is that it talks about the streaming applications that will work with this device. So that's a good sign that by the time this device comes out, we should finally see those software-based applications that would allow you to run basically a TiVo extender as an app on a Roku or a Fire TV or an Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great news.
Now, we also should expect that there will be some over-the-air support as well, and it looks like there are going to be two versions for over-the-air, one that has two tuners and one that has four tuners. So interesting there, they've gone from having multiple SKUs for cable and one SKU for over-the-air to potentially having multiple SKUs for over-the-air and only one SKU for cable.
Yeah, like that signals to me that their audience has shifted, that they're probably selling more OTA TiVos than they are cable TiVos.
Right. Right. I would imagine that that's the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is this something that you would be interested in? Is there enough here that you would consider upgrading? Because I look at this and I'm like, it's nice, but if you already have the Bolt, I don't see why you would upgrade.
Well, if you have the Bolt, you have a 4K TV, and you don't have an Apple TV, then I think you consider this. Because if you're hardcore, you know, home theater enthusiast, then things like Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos are really appealing to you.
They are, but here's my beef with that. Those could be deployed to older boxes as a firmware upgrade.
Doesn't
and I'm
mean
not
they
willing
will,
to
though.
Buy a new piece of hardware just to get those features, because that's crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. But it looks like a PlayStation 4.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's fine. But it is better looking. It is absolutely better looking. I'm with, like, I don't hate the Bolt design as much as you do, but I am more of a traditionalist and would kind of rather have the more flat design. So I don't know if this is something you necessarily upgrade from a Bolt for, but if you're kind of coming to this new, then this is exciting times. And I would definitely, like, if you're thinking of getting a TiVo now, then definitely wait for this new one, because it doesn't make sense to buy the old one at this point. But
that's a good point. Unless they have some really amazing deals on them when this one comes out. And sometimes they do that. The other thing is, if you're a Romeo user, the release below the Bolt, then you didn't have 4K support, mm-hmm. right? So this might be the logical jump for you.
Right, right. This is like the people who buy their cell phones every other year, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Which is a lot of people.
Yeah, it's the smart way to buy phones, really. At least every other year at this point. All right, cool. Well, we don't like to report on leaks and rumors and stuff like that until we know it's real. But this is Dave Zatz and TiVo. Like, this is almost for certain, right?
Yeah, I mean, he knows him some TiVo.
Yeah, yeah, he is the TiVo guy. So, all right, one last video story. It's September now, and that means brand new seasons of TV shows. And Richard found a pretty nice guide to figuring out when the heck all of your favorite shows are actually going to start.
Indeed. And not surprisingly, it's from the TV Guide. Well, it might be surprising the TV Guide still exists,
it
actually,
is kind
right?
Does the actual physical version still exist?
It does. It is still for sale in grocery stores. I saw one the other day. I couldn't believe it.
That's awesome.
It's no longer like Reader's Digest size. It's more like a normal magazine size now. But yeah, I was surprised. So the cool thing about this is that this will show you when shows premiere. It'll even include streaming services like Hulu and Netflix and stuff like that. And of course, one show that both Josh and I care about, you found that it is going to be the 26th of September when we'll see new episodes of The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Robot on October 6th.
Although, curiously, Mr. Robot was not in this list.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is curious.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I, like, does TV Guide, like, did Are they fighting with USA? Like, they're not BFFs anymore? Not really sure what's going on there.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Like, October 6th is a huge night for premieres, because at 9 o'clock is The Walking Dead, and at 10 o'clock is Mr. Robot.
Yeah. Interesting.
I put a few in here. We don't need to go through these, especially the next one, because it's not for me, and it's embarrassing. But
now you have to say it. What's the next one, Josh? What was the next one on the list?
The next one is CW's reboot of Charmed, which I'm not making this up. This is not for me. I'm not making excuses. My wife, when we were first married, loved watching Charmed. So she might be interested in this remake. So I put it in the list, and I'm going to, I guess, set our TiVo to record that.
Also, by the way, I haven't watched it, but this one is supposedly very good and very different from the original.
Okay. Is this season two? I didn't even read the details of it. Is there already a season one? Oh, crap.
I think there is.
Okay. Well, might need to find her season one then for her to check
out. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll have to look. But this has been getting a lot of talk.
Okay. So. And just to show how complete this listing is, The Mandalorian is in this list. That's maybe the most hotly anticipated original coming to Disney Plus on November 12th. I think we briefly talked about this last week, and I hadn't watched the trailer yet. I did watch the trailer for it after we finished recording. That looks really good. That looks really good.
It does. But you mean this is more hotly anticipated than the Forky show?
The Forky show. Yes, Richard.
I mean, come on.
Just by a hair, though. Just by the prong of a fork, is it more anticipated?
Oh, nicely done. Hey, while we were talking about that, Rob weighed in the chat to let us know that season one of Charmed is available on Netflix now.
That doesn't help me. We canceled Netflix when we signed up for Hulu.
You can always rejoin for a month with another email address. Nobody would ever know.
Oh, Richard. Richard, Richard, Richard. All right,
like,
let's
nobody's ever done that.
No, definitely not. All right, let's move on to a little tidbit of gaming news. And it is really only just a little bit. You might expect that after having none last week that I might inundate you with gaming news this week, but not so much. But I am actually really excited about a piece of hardware. I really, really get into headphones and headsets. Ask my wife, ask my coworkers who frequently come by my desk and look at my desk and go, how many pairs of headphones do you need, Josh? Well, they just don't understand that you need...
Ask me. Right. At CES, like, all your appointments seem to be headphone manufacturers.
I love headphones. And the thing is, you need a lot of different headphones because different headphones serve different purposes. And that's what I'm really liking about this new headset from SteelSeries. It is the SteelSeries Arctis One Wireless. It's a wireless headset primarily targeted at gamers. And the thing that's special here is that it is a wireless headset that works on basically everything. Up until now, if you were buying a wireless headset, like, there are cool Xbox ones that use the same wireless technology that the controller uses. I've got one of those. I love it. There's, you know, wireless headsets for computer that use a dongle, or maybe they use Bluetooth or a Bluetooth headset on your PlayStation 4. But, like, none of those can be used on lots of platforms. And that's what's different here. The Arctis One has a small USB-C dongle, which means with an adapter, it can be used on practically everything. So the USB-C part is important because it means that it's a wireless headset that can be used on the Nintendo Switch, even when you're out and about, which is a really big deal. But you can also, it comes with a USB-A to USB-C dongle, or cable adapter, I guess you would call that. You can plug that into your PS4. It also comes with audio cables, like regular 3.5 millimeter audio cables. So you can plug it into just about everything else, like your Xbox One headset. You can take the USB dongle and plug it into your Android phone if it's got USB-C. You can plug this thing into your PC. It'll work with almost everything. It won't work with an iPhone or an iOS tablet. I also call it an iPad. I'm not sure why I said an iOS tablet.
But does it have one of these quarter-inch plug adapters?
I don't think it comes with a quarter-inch plug adapter. But you can get one on Amazon for like $2. As an add-on to your Amazon Prime. So that's all really cool. And it also means that, like, it's a wireless adapter or a wireless headset that you can connect to a bunch of different things without having to go through the pairing process over and over and over again, like you would need to do if it was a Bluetooth headset or something like that. In terms of taking this mobile, the microphone, it's got a boom microphone, but it's detachable. So if you're playing your Switch on the subway and you're not going to be talking, you can just remove the headset. It's got a lower profile headband, so it's not like the dual layered thing where it's, you know what I mean. It's hard to describe, but I think people know what I mean when it comes to gigantic gaming headsets. So this doesn't look like a gigantic gaming headset. It is over-ear headphones, so they are big-ish, but not enormous. They've got on-ear controls for muting the microphone, turning the volume up and stuff like that, and 20 hours of battery life. And I saw this and thought, this has got to be like $200 easy. Nope. $99 available now. This could narrow me down to only having two pairs of headphones that I use regularly.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they sound pretty good, and they're supposed to sound pretty good. It's the same speakers that their Arctis 7 headset uses, which is their premium high-end headset, which I think is $200 or more. So I'm really excited about this. I might have to get my hands on one of these guys.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, another quick update. We talked back in June when E3 was going on that Ubisoft had announced their own game streaming service called Uplay Plus. It's available now. We're recording this on September 3rd. It's available right now. Uplay, it's game streaming. So all of the hardware for rendering the games and stuff like that is happening in the cloud. You do not need a massive, super expensive gaming computer to play this with. Just a regular Windows PC should do the job just fine. As long as your internet connection is good, this should work well for you. The library has over 100 games. And unlike Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass, when Ubisoft puts games in the Uplay Plus library, they put the premium edition. So you get all the DLC, you get everything with these. It also comes with early access to new games and access to betas. It's regularly $14.99 a month, but you can sign up right now and get free access through the end of the month. It's not a 30-day trial. It is a free trial for the month of September. So you do need to put in your credit card number, and on October 1st, if you have not yet canceled, you will be billed $14.99 for the next month. But you've got close to 30 days for free here, depending on when you're listening and when you sign up. So you can find out if your internet connection is strong enough to play something like this, and if the lag is low enough for you to be able to use this type of service, or specifically Ubisoft service. So a lot of great games there. Definitely worth checking out if you're interested in this big game streaming service that we're starting to see pop up all over the place.
Cool, cool.
All right. We said last week that neither Sony nor Microsoft had announced their free games for the month of September. They have now, you know, since it's September. So we'll roll through these.
And it
quickly.
Was like totally last minute.
Yeah, and part of that just comes down to how the days fell. Like, Sony always announces theirs on the last Wednesday, but Microsoft, like, gosh, it seems like they're waiting until like 11:59 p.m. They waited. It was noon on August 29th. Yeah, so
that's Thursday.
Thursday. And these games were available on Sunday. So it's getting a little annoying. Although with the lineup that they announced, I'm not surprised they waited until the last minute, because this is not very exciting. Yeah. So Games with Gold for September, all month long on Xbox One, you get Hitman, the complete first season. Like, it's almost not even worth mentioning the rest of the games, but we will anyway. Hitman is good. Go and grab it. It's good. Your other Xbox One game, though, which will be available September 16th through August 15th, is a new game. It's not even out yet. It won't be out until September 16th, called We Were Here. This is one I'd never heard of. I'm wondering if this is actually a phone game or something like that, that they ported over to Xbox. This game is only going to be $4.99. It's not like you're getting some amazing AAA game here. It's like a two-player co-op first-person puzzle game. It does not look anything at all like something I would enjoy. You can keep your puzzle games to yourself. Thank you very much. Your 360 games for the first half of the month: Earth Defense Force 2025, third-person action game. September 16th through 30th, Tekken Tag Tournament. Yeah, it's Tekken game. It's 3D fighting. So there you go. Both available on your Xbox One through backwards compatibility. On PlayStation Plus, much better games to speak of here. Only two of them now, both on PlayStation 4. Batman Arkham Knight and Darksiders 3. So Batman Arkham Knight is the final game in that Batman Arkham trilogy. All of those games were apparently really good. I'm not a Batman guy, I didn't play them, but they're supposed to be really good. Darksiders 3 is another action, like hack and slash kind of game. I've never played Darksiders 3. The premise is a little interesting. You're one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and you're going after the seven deadly sins. I don't know how you kill the seven deadly sins, but apparently you do. It sounds kind of cool, I guess. So Darksiders 3 and Batman Arkham Knight on PlayStation 4. That's it for our gaming news. That's really it for all of our news. So if you like this show, which you probably do if you're still listening at this point, share it with your friends. That's the best way that we can get new people to join in this community with us. We appreciate reviews on iTunes and things like that, but share the show with your friends. Post a screenshot on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you're doing, and let other people know that this is a great way to find out how to more easily consume the entertainment on the devices that you have, wherever you want to watch them. All right, Richard.
All right. So let's see. I have finally installed the HD Home Run Servio. I've already talked about installing the Scribe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need more storage.
Can you just give a quick recap? Because I think people get tripped up on the names. What are these two devices?
I get tripped up on the names. So the Scribe is the all-in-one DVR box that includes storage and includes the DVR software. Then the Servio is the remote storage box. That's all it is. It's an add-on to your existing storage, and it's, I think, available as 1 or 2 terabytes. I have the 2 terabyte version. So I decided I should finally look it up, and I am going to be using, I'm going to try and record as much stuff as I can this fall season to see if I can actually push the bounds of the HD Home Run storage system. Now, when I installed it, I'll put that in air quotes, because all you really had to do is plug it in, and it just showed up on my.hdhomerun.com. At least I thought. But when I went to the my.hdhomerun.com page, it said that I needed a firmware update. And to update the firmware for this device, for some reason, and I have no idea why this works this way, I had to reinstall my desktop software for the HD Home Run.
Huh. That's interesting.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, because I thought all of the stuff just came directly to the device.
You would think it would work that way. Now, I have to say, I didn't quite know how to get the update. And so I was able to reach someone over the holiday weekend at Silicon Dust. And they told me to do the reinstall. And so I did. And it worked. And that was great. But I very quickly responded saying, wow, I really hope that that ultimately just comes through your portal page or directly to the device, because that's really unintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will get corrected at some point in time. Now, as far as stuff I've been watching, the usuals, Big Brother, The Flash and Arrow. I finished Black Mirror season 3. As I mentioned, the season 3 finale was fantastic. I think probably my favorite episode to date of Black Mirror. And then Black Mirror season 4 was the Star Trek-ish episode, and it was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Also watching a couple more episodes of Grace and Frankie. And last Tuesday, The Good Place season 3 became available on Netflix. So I watched it. All of it.
On Tuesday.
Not all on Tuesday. But now I need more. So that's frustrating.
Hey, it's not, I really it's enjoyed not long.
It. No, it's not. It's not. There are only 12 episode seasons, I believe, which is really odd. I think 13 actually, but they do an hour for the first episode. Mm. So, yeah, I want that fourth season. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. And without any additional new content to watch that I really wanted to watch, I decided that I was going to finally start watching Star Trek Discovery. But Richard, you're not willing to pay for CBS All Access. And if you said that, you would be right. So hear me out. I bought it. I bought Star Trek Discovery on iTunes.
For how much?
And I did the math. It cost me $35 for the HD episodes with no commercials. If I were to watch them as they played, I would have had to subscribe for 4 months, which would have cost me $40.
Okay.
Now, I could binge after the fact. I could go in and binge, but I don't tend to stick with stuff if I don't really love it and it doesn't have me engaged as much. So I might end up spending a couple months. And I am not paying CBS for their additional service. I'm not doing it.
But couldn't you have signed up right now and watched all of it in less than a month?
It's now, I think, only like a 7 or 15 day free trial. So I would have had to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if I stuck with it, like if I started watching it and made the decision that, okay, even if this doesn't engage me as much as I want to be engaged, then I'm going to continue to watch each episode. So I watch it within this month's time. And I don't want that kind of constraint on me. Like, I want to watch it when I want to watch it. So anyway, I have it now and I can watch it at my leisure. So I watched the first 2.5 episodes. I was falling asleep because it was late last night. And so that's what I'll be starting tonight on probably. And then this weekend, long weekend, we rewatched all of the Hobbit movies.
Why?
Forgot how long they are.
Why? Why would you rewatch it? Why do you even own these?
Well, so Edward likes them, and he just started rewatching them. So I joined him, and I guess about a third of the way in, and continued to watch.
I don't understand. Ugh. I really enjoyed at least the second and third Lord of the Rings movies. Man, that first Hobbit movie was boring and way too long, way, way, way too long. I didn't even watch the other two.
All three of them are way too long. They're all too long. Three movies for normal size movies would be way too long for this one book.
Right.
Which I believe, if I recall, is shorter than all three of the Lord of the Rings books.
Right. I thought I heard someone say once that it was like a 90-page book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, we watch those, and yeah, you know, they have their benefits. They are benefits is the wrong word. They have their moments. So, enjoyed that. Then we watched Godzilla King of the Monsters. I did not pick this one.
This is one that I would have picked.
It's awful.
Is it better or worse than The Hobbit?
It's, well, they're not on the same plane.
Well, no, but
if you enjoyed the most recent Godzilla remake, you might think, oh, well, this is going to be awesome because it adds more monsters. And yes, it has those moments. Otherwise, as a movie, story-wise, character-wise, it is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Good effects, terrible movie.
Hmm.
The next night, I picked the movie, and we watched Ralph Wrecks the Internet, which was awesome.
It's good.
I loved it.
It's not better than Wreck-It Ralph.
Well, so I think that depends. I'm not that big of a game player. So some of the things in Wreck-It Ralph were cool, but didn't necessarily like I don't know, catch me the way that other people who did play more of those games really enjoyed it. Whereas just the scene in My Disney or whatever they called it in Ralph Wrecks the Internet was the most amazing, fun time. I can't even imagine what a blast the designers and writers and animators must have had doing that sequence, because it was so much fun. And as a Disney fanatic, I loved it.
That Disney scene was phenomenal. It was hilarious. The rest of the movie was okay.
Yeah, and there's just so many Easter eggs in there. Yeah. Like, there's just so much Disney stuff. And they have Star Wars characters and Marvel characters, and they're all intermingled. It's, yeah, that was just phenomenal. I loved that. And then the rest of the movie, I think the end of it was kind of, it dragged a little bit, mm-hmm. because it was so much going on. And, you know, the crazy racing world that was initially supposed to be all scary and everything, that was fascinating. And you had all of that energy, and then it just really slows down and gets sappy at the end. And that kind of bugged me.
Right.
But yeah, but I liked it. I thoroughly liked it. So if you haven't seen it yet and you saw the first one and enjoyed it, I highly recommend watching the second one. And that is it for me. And I'll pass it to you, but I think this is going to be fast.
Super fast. I had a ridiculous week and weekend. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't play any games at all over the last week. And when we last recorded an episode, I said, I have one more episode in season four of Homeland. And it took me until last night to watch that episode. I didn't get to it until last night.
Wow.
And then watched also the first episode of season five. So, that immediately looked familiar to me also. So I have no idea where I left off in Homeland, because I've at least watched some of season five also. But I'm still great. Still love it.
Cool. Yeah, I enjoyed all of it. And I'm looking forward to the next season.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to get this. I would like to get this finished before Mr. Robot comes out. And before, well, yeah, and really before The Good Place. So I've got until, what do we say, September 27th? So
when you say this finished, you mean the next three seasons?
Ideally.
Okay.
I've been watching at a pretty good clip for me. For me, I've been watching at a really good clip. I think it's possible. Although NHL 20 comes out next weekend, so this isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen once NHL comes out. Okay, I'll have to resign myself to that. It's okay. It's okay. I'm okay with that. All right. You know what else I'm okay with? Feedback from all of you wonderful listeners out there. We've got a lot of ways you can get a hold of us. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is at DigiMediaZone. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're all over the place. All of that stuff is in the show notes, along with links to everything we talked about tonight over at thedigitalmediazone.com. Richard, you've got another podcast you do called Home On with DIY smart home stuff. What you been doing with Home On?
Not a lot. Oh, you mean what's coming up? Well, sure. So we have the episode with Mike Phillips of Sense. He is going to be on the next episode. That should be out within the next couple of days. And then I'm going on a quick break because I'm supposed to be on vacation. But, you know, we have a problem here because Dorian, my friend Dorian, apparently she decided that she wants to go to the Outer Banks too, and she's going to get there the day before I get there. So I don't quite know how this vacation thing's going to go.
She's setting you up for one heck of a party.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, hope that works out for you.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
And more so, in all seriousness, I really hope this works out way better for everyone along the East Coast, but it's not looking good.
No, this has been rough, and I'm making light of it. The Bahamas had a horrible, horrible, horrible weekend, and many islands there just completely covered over. So this has been a rough one, and luckily, if you can say that, pretty low casualties so far. So we'll see how we end up faring in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we do record the show live typically on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's not always Tuesday and it's not always at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So your best bet, follow us on Twitter and we tweet when the show is going to be live. So there you go. That's your best way to jump in here, watch the video, listen to the audio, and have a chat room so that you can participate in the show like some of our listeners did tonight. We hope to see you back next week because that's going to do it for episode 496. He's Richard Gunther and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.